We're starting Parshas Vayera, Tavshin Ayin Dalid, and we're really going to concentrate on the Benos Lot, what happened with the Benos Lot. Now, the first time that we see these Benos Lot is when Lot is talking to the people who are surrounding his house to do their thing with the Malachim, and it says, Vayomar, Al Noachai Toreu, don't be evil. Hine Noli Shteva Nos Asher Lo Yadu Ish. I have two daughters who do not know a man. Otzia Noachen Elechem, I'll bring them to you. Vaseila and Ketov Enechem, and do to them as what fits in your eyes, anything good in your eyes. Rakhla Nishma El Al Tasu Dover, don't do anything to these godly men. Kel Kimbo Bitzel Korosi, that's why they're under my rooftop. Please don't do anything to these men. That's how he says it. That they're Shtebanos Asher Lo Yadu Ish. Later on, we know them as the ones that ran out together with Lot and his wife. Now, the wife's name was Edith or Iris, depending on the measures that you look at. Edith or Iris. I don't know which one. But
somebody messed up when they were copying on the radio.
Probably. I just don't know which one it is. Either Edith or Iris. She turned into a pillar of salt, as we all know. And then when they got there, then there was a whole discussion. He was in the cave with his two daughters, and the Bechir said to Zira, our father is old. There's no man in the land to be together with us, like the way of the land. Let's give our father some wine. Nishka v'ima will be together with him. Zara will have children from our father. The oldest one slept with her father. He didn't realize that she had slept with him, nor that she had gotten up. The next day, right, the youngest one did the exact same thing. They both became pregnant, and the first one gave birth. The name of the child was Moav. Second one gave birth, the name of the child Ammon. And that is Moab and Ammon that we know of it today. Now, Lot really had five daughters altogether, seemingly no sons. We don't know about any sons of Lot. The oldest daughter was a chassid of Avraham Avinu and emulated him in every way. The Alkit Shimoni says that when Lot first came down to Sodom, this daughter, whose name was Palatis or Palatis, I can't tell exactly what it was, but something like that, was married to a prominent man in Sodom.
She did get the five, not four.
I'll explain. She saw an older man who was lying starving in the streets, and she felt terrible for the man who was lying starving. Every day she would go to draw water from the wells around where he was, and she would fill her pitcher, the empty pitcher, so to speak, with food, and she would secretly give him the food, empty out the pitcher, fill it up with water, and come back to the city so that no one would see that she was behind this. But the people of the city realized that he was being kept alive. They couldn't understand why this guy was still alive, who was feeding this guy, so they did a little bit of, you know, reconnaissance mission, and stood behind a little bit, you know, used their binoculars, and realized that she was bringing them food, so they took her out. They brought her out to be burned. They burned her at the stake, and Hashem judged the city to destruction at that moment, and that's Haketzakasa. According to its cries, refers to the screams of Palatis, the wife of the daughter of Lot, who came out. The Sefer Yashar says the exact same story happened in Adma, which is one of the five cities of Sodom, with another girl. Her punishment was that they covered her up with honey and then stuck her in the ground so that she was eaten alive by ants and termites. It's not a very good death by anyone. So the question is, I'm sorry?
Were Ammon and Moab Lot's sons or grandkids?
Sons. Well, both. Really, sons and grandkids. But why was that her punishment? Why was the punishment that she was surrounded by honey and then was eaten by ants? Because the men of Adma said, listen, we understand. You want to do chesed, right? You want to give of yourself. So, if you want to give chesed, you're just giving chesed with your hands, giving to another person. You should give chesed with your whole body. You should give chesed with your whole body. Give up your body to the animals of the ground. They want food, and you have a body that can give them food. So they filled her up with honey so that they could eat her flesh and thus cause a tremendous amount of chesed. That was their twisted theory of how they could get somebody, mita keneged mita, so to speak. And that's what they said to her. You want to do chesed? So do chesed. This is the ultimate chesed. That's the way to do it. Now, that was one daughter. When they were leaving Sodom, Lot was told to take his four daughters, two son-in-laws, and two engaged son-in-laws, and bring them out of Sodom. That's how they define it, at least according to Rashi, which meant that he had five daughters altogether. One was Palatis, and then these four that were there. The two that were married did not leave. The two that were engaged were allowed to leave. They were able to go back, and that's that. It is strange that this girl over here, later on, is called the Bechira, which means she was the firstborn. But it can't be. The firstborn was engaged while she had three older sisters who were married. That doesn't make any sense. So rather it must be Bechira, as in right now she is the oldest one, but it's very strange for stuff like that. Now, why did the Bnei Shlomo get involved with this horrific act and trying to be together with their father? Seems that they thought that no one else was alive in the world. The line that the Bechira used, which is a very, very strange line, is it said, Avinu Zakein ve'ish ein ba'aretz lavo aleinu. There is no other man in the ground to be together with us, kederach kol ha'aretz, like the way of all the lands. So it seems that they mamish thought that nobody else was left in the world. But didn't they just see the city of Tsoar? There were five cities of Sodom. Lot and his daughters ran to Tsoar, and Lot davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked Hashem, please save the city. Halo mitzor he. There are people in Tsoar. Save this city. So it seems there were men in Tsoar. There were people that they definitely saw. Then they ran to the hills. But what in the world does that mean? If they saved Tsoar already, then why in the world did they think that there was no one else left in the world?
Maybe the point is that not that there wasn't anyone left in the world, but no one to deal with them, like the way of the land, maybe the Jewish land.
They weren't Jewish. They weren't even close. They were Lot's daughters, you remember. They had no sheikhs that, and they did start Ammon and Moab. So maybe it wasn't, they weren't good enough. Maybe that's what you're saying. Hold on, we'll say that. The Ramban says that they thought it may still happen. They saved Tsoar temporarily, but that didn't mean that Tsoar was permanently saved. And it could be that Tsoar was about to be destroyed, and that's what they were worried about. But that doesn't really answer the question so well, because for now, there are other men. So what's the problem? There are other men. You don't have to be together with your father. The Miyam Loei says the inhabitants of that city died through a plague. So everybody in Tsoar, although the city of Tsoar survived, the people of Tsoar were all dead because they were all part of the plague of Sofer, even though the houses still stood. The Panach Raza says they all ran to the other cities. The people that are living in that city all ran to other cities thinking that they would be able to help them, and they got destroyed and burned in the process. So they were all dead. The Chidah says that everyone was too afraid to go out of their houses. The streets were completely deserted. They didn't see anyone around at all, so they thought that everybody was gone. Now, even if they were alive, the Das Kanim says these two daughters had standards. Standards. And maybe that's what you're trying to say, Ephraim. They had standards. They didn't want to marry anyone from these accursed cities. They went to Sodom and they said, we don't want to be anywhere around these people. Sure, there are people at Tsoar. The Das Kanim was a Baal Tosfos. Said, we don't want to be around these people. They had already lost their fiancés. They assumed that all people in the five cities were alike. They rejected everyone. Said, we don't want to be together with that one. The Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachya both point out that a Ben Noach is mutter to marry his daughter. Gemara Sanhedrin Nunchas Amud Beis, because it says the way it is there are certain arais that they're able to be mutter to, because you can't be assured that it's your daughter. It's your wife's kid, but not necessarily your child. Since they have no chazaka that they were together with their husbands, it's not assured. So therefore, in theory, a non-Jew could be together with their daughter, and there is no isser involved in such a thing. These two, says the Rabbeinu Bachya, were tsanua and mizbaishos, very embarrassed to do these things. They were sincerely afraid for literally all of mankind. Therefore, when they did this act, it was out of literal desperation, and not out of znus, says the Rabbeinu Bachya. And that's why the pasuk doesn't say one word badly about them. It says if they did something that was perfectly fine, and their act was l'shem shamayim, to have Rabbeinu Bachya say that about you, l'shem shamayim, everything they did. But how could they think that way? I mean, come on. If Lot was alive, wouldn't you think that Avram Avinu was alive? Wouldn't you think that Avram Avinu, the Rebbe of Lot, would be a person who was still alive and who was still around there? Or are you going to say, Rudy?
Separate from the play.
But why would you assume that Lot survived and Avram somehow died and was completely gone?
Avram was
gone
another time, earlier. They heard the story about an old man that Lot learned all these things from. But Lot maybe moved.
They didn't leave so far earlier, although we don't know exactly when it happened. Let's assume it happened after there were 75, which means 78, 79. Now you're right. It could be that it was 20 years since then. Could be that it was 20 years since then, and that's when everything was happening. It very well could be. It's a strange mindset. After all, this happened when Avram was 99. So it could have been 20 years later altogether. It could be they weren't even born when Lot was with Avram Avinu. But did they not hear hear any stories of Avraham Avinu? Did Lot never talk about his great Rebbe, Avraham Avinu? Was that possible that Lot never spoke about the man that taught him everything, that gave him all his riches or anything like that? So I had a Rebbe, Rabbi Brazil, that used to tell me, Lot had convinced his family that he was the righteous one. He was a tzaddik, and Avraham was his Talmud. And then everywhere he went, he said that. And his proof was that in the War of the Four Kings, the Talmud came to save the Rebbe. He came to save me. Because that was the way it was. Why did I go to Sodom and he stayed there? Because Sodom was a city that needed so much help. The Rebbe had to go to Sodom to go save the Sodomites from doing terrible things.
Kind of like, I don't know.
You don't think what it was?
I don't know, but from what we see in the Torah.
From the Gemara?
From the Torah.
I don't know what you're referring to. I'm not Reformed, so until then I have the Gemara. I'm not Reformed though. So as long as I have the Gemara, and the Gemara tells us that Lot was into this entire act for Arias, he had a head for money the entire way through, and Rashi tells us three times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina wouldn't appear in front of Avram when Lot was around, that clearly shows us this wasn't a good guy. Maybe he's a good guy in comparison to all of us. Maybe that's true, but in comparison he's not somebody there. And that's what he was doing, telling everybody. So they trusted him. They thought that he was therefore the only person to survive a cataclysmic event, that even Avraham Avinu was completely gone, and that he was literally the only person there.
Does that go out and check?
I would assume they're scared out of their mind. So it's a good call, but I would assume they're scared out of their mind and they don't want to go anywhere because they're afraid of the sulfur, the fire, everything like that. They can't even look. The Malachim told them to just run, don't look back. They can't even look anywhere. So I don't know if they could look anywhere. Either way, something is wrong here, says Chassam Sofer. They were L'shem Shemayim. The Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya said they didn't trust anyone else in the world. They thought that they had to have a chash of a husband because they were chash of a people. If so, says Chassam Sofer, then why didn't they ask their father directly what they should do? What, they have to get him drunk and do it while he was asleep or while he was in a drunken state? Just say to Lot, Abba, what are we supposed to do? We're the only three people left in the world. What are we going to do over here? There's nothing else we can do. It's like Cain marrying his sister. Well, why does it make it worse? It's Cain marrying his sister. If there's no choice, there's no choice. You have to say to your father, Abba, what are we supposed to do? And if it was L'shem Shemayim, then say it. Abba, we don't want to do this, but we have no choice. What are we going to do about children? Okay, so it's better to get him drunk.
I feel like, you know, it's better just like do it, like as in those, like,
that's only if you're thinking there's something gross and disgusting about it. But the daughters were doing L'shem Shemayim. They realized that they had to do this.
You know what are you doing L'shem Shemayim? Because you can't get the fact out of your head is what's actually going on.
So you get drunk. Not get the father drunk. You should be drunk.
Or both.
Let it be the other way around, or both.
You never know about it.
I understand. But why should it be that way? If they're doing it L'shem Shemayim, they feel this is what they have to do, then say it out loud.
You gotta face him afterwards.
They're facing him afterward anyway.
You know, but he doesn't know about it.
He did know about it.
He let him out come out. They probably be seen. The reason they got him drunk was so that he wouldn't.
There is no question that he didn't know about it at the time. There's no question either that he knew about it afterwards. And when they were pregnant later on, where do you think that came from? Well, all of a sudden he wakes up and they're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. It's obvious later on, they weren't embarrassed later on, they called him Moab, for goodness sake. Me'av, they called him after my father.
You didn't remember doing it.
Again, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. She called him Moab.
Oh, I know, but you didn't remember what happened.
Regardless, if you're fine, so let Lot say, I'll get drunk, you'll get drunk, and that way we'll figure it out. Let him decide it. But to just go ahead and hide it as if there's something wrong with it, that doesn't sound like it's L'shem Shemayim. You're hiding, you're trying to make sure that Lot doesn't know about it. What is it? So the Chassam Sofer says an answer. He says, it seems that they all knew they were not worthy of being saved. And they realized that the only reason why they were being saved is because there's going to be something special that comes from them. They were going to have children who were going to be special children. And that was going to be, as we all know from much later on, Rustam Olavia and Namah Amonis. They knew that somehow. Chassam Sofer says he got that from his Rebbe the Hafwa. And if they knew there was going to be something special, they said to themselves the following. If we're going to have these children, and our father isn't going to be involved, then why is our father alive? He didn't deserve to be saved. If our father is supposed to have these children, and we're not supposed to have them, then why are we alive? So they said, Mimanafshach, it must be that we're both, all three of us are supposed to have these children. So they said, it must be we're supposed to be together. That was Lashem Shemayim aspect. All three of us were saved in order to have these special children come for us. So why didn't they tell their father? They were afraid that they would insult their father by saying that. Abba, you're only alive in order to have a child. You weren't worthy of being alive on your own. But you're worthy of being alive in order to have these children. That's insulting to Lot. They didn't say anything. Lot was thinking it. Their daughters were thinking it. But Lot didn't have time to say it to his daughters before their daughters took matters into their own hands, got him drunk so that they wouldn't have to say anything to him. And at the end, Lot was maska. Lot said, that must be the reason why. Only when they came out and realized there were a ton of people around in the world that didn't die in this plague, were they just like, oops. But at the end of the day, since it was Lashem Shemayim, they did have the kids. Now, how were they able to become pregnant if Lot already said about them that they were besulos? They had never known a man. A besula, says the Gemara in Ksuvis, is not supposed to be able to have a child the first time that they're together with a man. So how is it possible they did? So the Minchas Yud, Rav Yehuda Pataya, the Talmud of the Ben Ish Chai says, they made themselves mukos eitz. They broke their besulin some way by sticking something in there to allow them to be open, broke their besulin so that their father would be able to impregnate them. The Rush and the Chizkuni say a bit differently. Although they had not known a man normally, they were prutzadit. The Rush and the Chizkuni, either they had had Bia Shalok Kedarka, it wouldn't at all, but somehow they were Prutzidik and Bia Shalok Kedarka, and they seduced other men to be together with them. So although they had not yet, they weren't Lo Yada Ish in the, I guess, the natural way, it could be that there were other things that they did with men that allowed them to not be a Besula in some way, that allowed them to become pregnant after this first Bia. Now, you got to mention the famous story through Moshe Feinstein. You want to know the famous story? It's mentioned that it's in Igros Moshe, Chelek Ches, on page Tesvot, in the Hakdama. It's in the introduction, not in his Tshuvos. It brings down that in the winter of 1921, one of the Bali Batim of Luban, where he was the Rav at the time, became very sick with a very strange sickness where his tongue blew up in his mouth. The tongue was very, very fat throughout his mouth, and he couldn't eat, he couldn't drink anything. He was lying there dying, and Rav Moshe came to visit him to be Mavakar Cholim. He came to visit him, and he asked that the man asked, I don't know how he could talk, I have no idea. But he asked that everyone else leave the room. Everyone else get out of the room. I want to talk to the Rav. So everybody else left the room, and he said to the Rav, Do you know I am sick? Rav Moshe said, no. He said, let me tell you why I'm sick. By the way, at the time, I believe Rav Moshe was in his early 20s. He said that the week before was Parshas Vayera. And he asked how the daughters of Lot could be Zocha to have Mashiach come from them. Mashiach comes from the daughters of Lot and Lot, from Rusa Moavia and Nama Amonis. How were they Zocha to have such children come from them? Because they named their kids after they did an act of Znuth. How could this be that they have kids that are the progenitors of Mashiach? He was mevazadem in public in front of other people. And that night, he said he had a dream. Two women came to him in a dream. Their faces were almost completely covered by a burqa or whatever it was. They were almost completely covered. And they told him that they were the daughters of Lot. By the way, I searched around a while. I do not have names for these daughters of Lot. I have no idea what their names are. I found the name of the first daughter. I found the name of Lot's wife. But I don't have the names for these two daughters. They came to him and said, we are the daughters of Lot. We heard your claims in Shemayim. And we came from the Olam HaEmes to come to answer your questions. They said, it would have been very easy for us to say that we're from the family of Avraham Avinu, we were saved miraculously from Sodom. They could have very easily convinced people that these babies were miracle babies they were pregnant with through a miracle. Not through Znus, not through their father, Chas V'Shalom. How would we be together with our father? They were known as holy women. But rather it was through immaculate conception, through a malach or through God himself, Chas V'Shalom. And they would be able to create a new religion in which the sons of God would go out and have their own religion. They knew that they could do that. They knew that there would be an easy way for them to show, but they said, we don't want that to happen. They called their children these names, Moav and Ammon, from my father, from my nation, in order to show everyone that it wasn't a godly baby, but it was a mistake. Because whenever a woman gets pregnant, if a woman is pregnant, it's from a man. The father is human. Thus knocking out the need for any future Messiah, so to speak, to come around and claim that he was the Son of God. Obviously he didn't claim it, but for anyone to claim that he was the Son of God. Through that schus, they got the real Mashiach. The man then said that the woman told him that what he had done was a grave sin, making fun of the B'nai Slot, and therefore he would be punished like the Meraglim for saying terrible things, and that was the blown up tongue. The man then turned, after he finished his story, turned to the wall and died. Ramosha felt that he was saying the truth. Ramosha felt that that was the truth behind the story, and that was that. Amazing story brought up by Ramosha. Now, the Seder HaDoros says that these two daughters...
I mean, it was before Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. Was it still Usher? I mean...
They were Jewish.
To what?
For the daughters to live with...
So he said, Sanhedrin and Chasim Abayz, it was Mutter, according to Rabban and the Rabbeinu Bachaya. So it wasn't anything Usher, because you can't be guaranteed that it was actually his daughters. That's correct. So it would have been perfectly fine. Seder HaDoros said that there were Gilgulim involved over here. That the two daughters of Lot and Lot... were Yehuda and Tamar. Both the daughters split the neshama of Tamar, and Yehuda was Lot. The Chidah explains how this is all a tikkun for Adam Arishon, and Adam and Lot are the same in Gematria 45, and I spoke about this in previous years. Rav Wolfson has an amazing piece over here, and we're going to go into the story of Rus a little bit to try to explain what was going on here. We still haven't explained. They're doing it with Shem Shemaim. Something's wrong here. Something's really wrong with their way of going about this. What exactly do we do? So listen to this idea from Rav Wolfson. Rav Meir used to darshan names. When he heard a name, he would think about the name and he would see what that name is trying to teach us, what you can get out of that name itself. The Midrash tells us that Rav Meir said about Elimelech. Elimelech, who is Elimelech? The father of Mahlon and Kilion, who were the original husbands of Rus and Orpah. Okay, Elimelech had two sons, Mahlon and Kilion. His wife was Naomi. Okay, and Mahlon and Kilion married Rus and Orpah. And eventually what happened was they went out, Elimelech died, Mahlon and Kilion died, Rus stayed with Naomi and went back to Eretz Yisrael and eventually married Boaz and had the child that's known as Obed, who's the father of Yishai, who's the father of David HaMelech. And Orpah went back and eventually became the father of the famous giant, Goliath. Okay, that was Orpah, that was Rus and Orpah. Remember the Arshan names. Elimelech used to go around and say, Eli Haya HaMalchus. Eli Tavo HaMalchus, that the kingdom will come to me. I will become, if I'm not a king, then my family will be a bunch of kings. Question number one. Why are we mentioning what his main, what he was going around saying if he was wrong? The kingdom did not go back to him. The kingdom didn't go to Mahlon, didn't go to Kilion at all. The kingdom went to Rus, who was his daughter-in-law, who ended up marrying Boaz. That had no sheikh, Elimelech. So what do we care what he was saying if he was wrong in the first place? The kingdom never went back to him. That's number one. Number two, in the story of Rus, the beginning of Perek Gimel, Naomi asks Rus to do a crazy thing. Says to Rus, in the middle of the night, go to Boaz and go to his bed, hide there, and in the middle of the night, seduce him. Make him be together with you. And that way you'll have a child. Unbelievable. Suggesting that to Boaz, who was a shofet, the gadol ador, telling Rus to do such a thing. Rus was an unbelievable tenua. Rus, she was such a tenua that the Gemara says she wouldn't put on makeup when she went outside. She would only put on makeup when she got to the granary where she was there to be with Boaz. She put on makeup there because she didn't want to go outside wearing makeup. She was the person who Boaz looked at her and saw that she was picking up sheaves of wheat, not bending over the way normal people do, but squatting down so that no one would see her back. No one would see her back. I mean, Rus was a tremendous snua. How could she even suggest this, let alone do this? And what if Boaz would have turned around and cursed her? What are you doing in my bedroom? Get out of here. I mean, granted, Boaz had lost his wife not too much earlier. But how could she have done this? That's two. Naomi is suggesting this is crazy. Number three, Boaz was punished and lost 30 sons and 30 daughters, 60 children altogether, because he didn't invite Manoach to a meal of his. He would not invite Manoach, the father of Shimshon, to a meal that he was making, to all the weddings. That's a crazy punishment for such a small little thing. Isn't it? I mean, he didn't invite one guy, Manoach, so all of a sudden you're going to get punished, you lose 60 children. That's a lot. That's a real crazy amount. The Alshich answers the question. Alshich answers the question and says an unbelievable answer. Says we know that Boaz eventually led to Mashiach. Because Boaz is the father of Obed, Yishai, David. And we all know that Mashiach comes from David and Melech. And so too with the B'nai Slot. The B'nai Slot were from the progenitors of Moab and Ammon. B'nos Lot were zocha to be the parents of Mashiach by being together with their father in a znus type of way, a promiscuous way, by acting like zonos. So Naomi suggested to Ruth to do the same to Boaz, to act in a promiscuous way, so that he would realize that she was from their family, that Ruth was from Lot's family, from the B'nos Lot, and that way he would realize that this is the way to bring Mashiach into Klal Yisrael. That's the Alshich's answer. Had it gone through Shiduchim, had they asked the Shadchan to get involved, then Boaz would have said no. Since, can you imagine, the Gadol Ador is about to marry a Gioris from Moab, who was questionable whether she could join Klal Yisrael in the first place, that you couldn't set it up through Shiduchim. So the Alshich says it had to be done this way in order to convince them that this was the right person. But that answer is a crazy answer. Boaz is all automatically going to figure it out. I mean, a regular Zona could do that. See, I'm acting like a Zona. I must be the father of Mashiach. I must be the mother of Mashiach. Anybody could do that. Why would Rus be right? See, I'm acting in a promiscuous way. Now you know who I am. How would that be? How could that possibly be? So, here we go. And this is an unbelievable answer from Rav Wolfson. He says this in about four or five different places, but here he really says it through. There are certain families that the Sultan pays a ton of attention to. Families that have a ton of Kedusha within them, that they have the possibility of raising children that can end up being Mashiach. Sultan pays a lot of attention to those families. Every chance he gets, he's mekatrig in them. He accuses them of doing something wrong. Boaz came from the family of Peretz, the two sons of Yehuda, Peretz and Zerach. There was Shelah also. But Peretz and Zerach, he came from Peretz, who we know was the family that everybody knew would eventually bring forth Mashiach. So Sultan was all over them for anything they did. Anything they did, they were medactic about themselves entirely, but they knew that the Sultan was always all over them because their children were going to be the ones who were going to be in charge of Mashiach. So Boaz was very careful with his money. And he did like the Gemara says to do. You don't invite an Am Haaretz to a meal. A man who's an Am Haaretz, you don't invite him to a wedding meal. If you're a Talmid Chacham and he's an Am Haaretz, you can't invite him to your wedding meal. He doesn't deserve to be at your wedding meal. So he's medaktik, and he wouldn't invite him because that's what the halacha is. But because he was mean about it, maybe he said something, maybe somehow Manoach found out why. However it happened, the Manoach realized that he wasn't invited. He was insulted. Because of that insult, the Sultan immediately started accusing. And when the Sultan accuses, who's going to be able to get out of it? Boaz therefore lost all 60 of his children, any of whom could have been the father of Mashiach. Any of them could have been the father of Mashiach. And that's the pshat. Even though Boaz may have done what he did, l'shem shamayim, nonetheless, when the Sultan is involved, the Sultan is very, very strong. So there has to be an etzah. How do you get the Sultan out of it? How do you have a relationship where the Sultan isn't involved, where you can let it happen and everything happens in the right way? So people in his family were successful by doing it in a backhanded way. They would do something that looks like it was wrong, even though their intentions were purely l'shem shamayim, but the Sultan cannot read minds. The Sultan would look at the act and say, this is disgusting. There's no way Mashiach is coming from this. But because their intentions were purely l'shem shamayim, it can allow Mashiach to come through without the kitrugim, without the accusations of the Sultan himself. Hence, the B'nos Lot with Lot did it l'shem shamayim, but in a way that didn't look very nice. Yehuda and Tamar were both l'shem shamayim in some way, shape, or form. The amazing Gemara and Sota and Yudim and Beis, but nonetheless, it didn't look very good. Yishai and his maidservant, if anybody knows that medrash, Yishai did, okay, it's a long story, but Yishai and his maidservant, and of course, Rus and Boaz. Naomi had a specific intent in mind. Allow the deed to happen in such a way that the Satan wouldn't think it was special. The Sultan wouldn't think that way. But because these people were so holy, Ruth and Boaz were such holy people, it was going to be done with l'shem shamayim, and they're going to do it in the right way. So because it's going to be done in the right way, you won't have to worry about there being even a shemitz of a veira or a avodah zarah or anything of the Yetzer Hara being involved. So as long as it's done in the right way, the Mashiach can be born this way. That's what the Chidah means. It's a Gilgal of Yehuda and Tamar. The same in Yehuda and Tamar, although on the outside looks terrible, on the inside looks l'shem shamayim, and thus caused Mashiach, so too over here would be the exact same way. That explains why Naomi could not have told Boaz what was going on. She couldn't have written a letter and said, listen, Rus is the progenitor of Mashiach. She couldn't have done that, because then the Sultan would be involved. She did it in this way because of that, but still, how would Boaz know this? All Boaz knows is that a girl came to his room in the middle of the night and wants to be together with him. How is he supposed to know this is the right woman? This is an amazing Gemara in Brachos, and all of you have seen this before. How far have you gone in Brachos? Ari, how much have you done in Brachos? The Gemara.
I think I did the whole thing.
You did the whole thing? Let's go to Gimel on the base. Not that far in, right? It's really in Dalam and Aleph. David HaMelech woke up every night by a harp playing on top of his bed. That a chatzos laila, the middle of the night, right at the midnight mark, the northern wind came in and blew the harp, and you would wake up. Has anybody ever tried this? Do you ever feel a northern wind come out at exactly midnight? Is there anything like that? Have you tried in Eretz Yisrael? We still have people living in Eretz Yisrael. You could probably try it. Put up a harp and see if it happens. Put up a harp. It's amazing. It's never happened like that before. It's not like that. It says Rav Wolfson. So how in the world could David have made that happen? So he says an amazing thing. He says this is all a remez to something. I don't know this. I'm not a big music guy. Maybe somebody here who's a music guy can tell me. Apparently, when you play a harp or some type of instrument on a certain chord, if there's another instrument right next to it, if you play that chord, the music reverberates against that chord and you can hear it coming out from the second instrument as well. Not the same amount, obviously, but if you're playing one, you can still hear it from the other one go out very, very lightly. It makes sense. The vibrations probably meet the other vibrations. It would make sense that it would be that way, but that's what he says. He says, I'm sorry? Yeah, Yoni would be a very good person to ask. I should have asked him. You're 100% right. I'll ask him. But that's what it's supposed to be. The Zohar says the following. At the moment of Chatzos Laila, the middle of the night, the Shechina enters Gan Eden. And the tzaddikim start praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say great things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They start singing in His honor. And at that very moment, if your neshama is very, very great and you're connected with the tzaddikim that are on high, at that moment you wake up and you also start singing praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we call that Tikkun Chatzos. That's the idea of what it's supposed to be. At that moment, you will wake up and sing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at exactly the same time that the tzaddikim are doing it up in Shemayim. That's the reference to the harp playing at midnight. When the harp plays in Shemayim, your harp starts playing as well. But Lav Davka, that it's referring to an actual harp that's playing. Elimelech also had this feeling. And the whole family had that feeling because they're all from David HaMelech. Boaz had that feeling. When did Naomi tell Ruth to make herself appear before Boaz? At Chatzos Laila. In the middle of the night, when Boaz was getting that feeling of Kedusha, which Elimelech already thought, he already felt it. He felt that there was a special thing about his neshama, and he was right. Elimelech, Nachman and Kilion in theory could have been the progenitors of Mashiach. Boaz felt it at that moment, and when he felt that there was something there in that room, there's something other than me that's Kadosh in this room, felt that Rus was there, Naomi said, if you're there at that moment, and he has that feeling, he's going to realize that it's not just him, it's you. He's going to realize that you and him are supposed to be together. It's going to look terrible. But she knew, Naomi knew, they were not going to be together right then. Boaz would then realize that he's supposed to be together with this girl. That the next morning, when Tov, the other relative, is supposed to marry Rus, Boaz will take it upon himself to make sure that he is the one who's going to marry Rus, not Tov. Because Boaz and her were supposed to be the father and the mother of Mashiach itself. So that, therefore, should take care of all these questions. We asked in the beginning. Reb Meir used to darsh names. Elimelech said something wrong. He didn't say something wrong. He was right. But he did it in the wrong way. At the end of the day, because of Machlon and Kilion, they didn't do it correctly. They lost. Number two, story of Ruth. Naomi told her to go at night. Why would Naomi tell her to go at night to Boaz? Why would she have told her to do such a thing? And the answer is, because that was the way that Boaz would be able to figure out that something was kadosh about Rus. At that moment when that Kedusha was there in the room from the Shechina that was around in Chatzos Laila, whatever it was, the same thing that woke up David HaMelech 3.5 generations later, that's what allowed Boaz to understand that Rus was so special. And that also explains why she didn't go to any Shechina. I mean, aside from the fact that she didn't want to pay the money. It seems that she wanted to get involved, and she made sure that it happened in the right way where the Sutton wouldn't be involved. And that's why Boaz was punished by losing 60 children when he's done something just slightly wrong, because the Sutton gets involved in people like Boaz, and that's what happened. So we're going to stop with that for right now. We went through all the daughters. We explained why they got together with this horrific act, why they thought there was no one else in the world that they could marry, why they thought Avram Avinu was maybe the wrong person, why didn't they call their father directly. We mentioned Ramosha Feinstein. We mentioned the whole thing about how they were able to become pregnant even though they were Besulos. And we mentioned the whole revulsion on what happened with her and Boaz. Shkai, guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbat.